Good morning. Hopefully you can hear me through this mask. I'm getting a COVID test to travel, so I don't want to ruin my trip. This morning we have a guest speaker, my good friend from Ethiopia. His name is Misiker. For 4 of my 7 years in Ethiopia, he was my right-hand man. We worked together every day, and we did ministry every day. And I met him when I was traveling to different universities in Ethiopia, giving speeches on apologetics to university students. And he was, I think, the first university I went to up north, a very large university in northern Ethiopia. He was in charge of their version of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. It's actually under the same international umbrella. And he was in charge of 2,000 students at that campus, 2,000 Christians. He would rotate through. He had, I think, when I spoke, there was 800 kids in each session at the place that we were speaking at. And so he ran that for 5 years, ran the also the professional groups, the Christian doctors, Christian lawyers, associations, etc. And he did such a good job at speaking and translating, and he was impressive overall that I hired him. I said, do you still want to work up there? Don't you want to come to Addis? And he was getting engaged. So I brought him down to the capital city, and he functioned as my TA and ministry partner. So obviously, in the classroom, I work for a government university. I can't proselytize. I got to follow strict rules, just ethically and legally. But outside the classroom, the students would be afraid to talk to me because professors are up here and they're down here. It's very hierarchical. So they would say, well, I can't talk to this guy. But when you have a TA who's in the classroom with you, who helps me teach, who helps explain things culturally, linguistically, outside the classroom, they're all happy to talk to him. And so, for example, things that would happen would be we would build relationships with students, particularly him. Again, they were kind of intimidated by the teacher. And for example, one time, 2 students outside the gates of the university on a public street met him, greeted him, and eventually he led them to the Lord. And they would follow up with them, bring them to InterVarsity. And some of them are still in the church today, still sees them today. So Misiker and I worked together really well. When I left Ethiopia, he started working with another American missionary who does business as mission, where they use businesses to outreach to different communities. Some like might be poor people who need microloans. Others will be Christian businessmen, and they do different things with that. By the way, he'll be speaking here at 4 p.m. if anyone wants to come and sharing some of the stories and the ministry that they do with business as mission in Ethiopia. So if you're interested, come again at 4 o'clock. He was really nervous to speak here because it's his second language. And I'm not exaggerating. In the Ethiopian language of Amharic, when I heard him speak, one of the reasons I wanted to hire him is he's like Tony Robbins. I kid you not, no exaggeration. I'm like, whoa, this guy's so quiet and calm. Then when he gets on a stage, he's like a professional speaker. And so he's nervous. He's like, yeah, but this is my second language. It's hard to grab words. You stumble around. So I told him Americans are very understanding, very forgiving. Don't worry. We love to hear about other cultures and people from other countries. So I told him not to worry about that. And he also translated for Pastor Kevin when Pastor Kevin was at a church in Addis Ababa. And when you translate from English to another language, you end up doing one sentence. God says that he loves his people, then the person says in the other language, and you can never get a rhythm. So Pastor Kevin would preach, I'd tell him, preach 3 paragraphs. 3 paragraphs, and then Mr. Kerr would go for 3 paragraphs. And it was, you get audience feedback, and it works really well. So today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Kerr. Please welcome him and let him feel calm about speaking.
Thank you. Good morning, church. As you see, I was nervous about this day. I have been anticipating it for the last 5 months now. So it's not just a sermon, it's also a relief when I'm done. The morning session really helped. As you know, our style of preaching is a little bit different. You need a confirmation from the congregation. You can say amen or you can say. So I was looking at 3 people this morning who are nodding their heads, and then I stick with them all of the time. So if I'm looking at you really, really hard, I mean, well, so I see familiar faces, that helps too. I'm just grateful. It's a really humbling experience. I don't know how God did it from a point where I meet a person and then now I end up here. It's just a humbling experience. Thank you for inviting me. I am excited and nervous at the same time. The same God who have helped me throughout the ministry would help me to speak his word. I met Dr. Bernard in university as we were translating. As I was translating for him, and he said, "You did a good job, and you have already translated my jokes. So if you think about it, translating Dr. Chris's joke is—it has to be." People were laughing, so I was like, "Okay, that has to be the reason." Yeah, so as he said, my name is Misikir. Misikir means witness. My dad called me witness because I look like him. I don't know why he needed a confirmation, but my name is witness. So if you want to learn Amharic, Dr. Chris will tell you. If you need to learn Amharic, just study the names. The names, all of our names have meanings. I am married to a beautiful woman. Her name is Sarah. She's doing business. We just had our first baby, 5 years of prayer. We named him Kadus, meaning Kadosh, set apart, who's being set apart to God. And the second one is coming on September. So pray for me that I will be on time to go back home. And I am thankful to the Lord for blessing us with Kadus and also another boy. I was born and raised in Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia, in an industrial area called Akaki. That area, most people work in a factory, so I wanted to be a factory manager. So that's all I wanted to be until I was in high school and I met my uncle. My uncle has a great influence on me in terms of knowing God and also even professionally. He is an economist, that's why I studied economics. And also getting, he really helped me to know Christ. I went to the University of Bahar Dar, one of the biggest, the three biggest, also known for. If you fly Ethiopian Airlines, most people who are working in Ethiopian Airlines engineers, they are graduated from Bahar Dar University. It's a well-known university, top three in Ethiopia. And I decided to go into ministry coordinate and disciple university students in Ivasu. Ivasu as the equivalent would be here, InterVarsity. But I would hear this comment over and over again, which is, when I do full-time ministry, people will call me and they say, "You are lucky to do this. You are lucky that you are doing a holy ministry or a holy work. What I do is not." Or they would tell me, I wish I could do what you do. Or they will tell me that when I am 50, I will save enough money so that I will go into ministry. Meaning that whatever they are doing, it's not a ministry, it's another thing. And that goes really, really bad when it's for business people. For example, my wife will not be considered as, you know, it's really hierarchical. Pastors are on the top, full-time ministry missionaries. Business people maybe down here. And it's really disconnected, the culture. So that question really start to bother me. The first thing my father told me when I decide to follow Christ is, "You are going to be lazy and poor." And the reason being, people tend to be so spiritual. It's like going into the, we don't have monks here. It's like a monk life. You disconnect from the whole world and instead of be in it and then make change. But if you hear the stories of missionaries who have come, who you shared with us, they are professionals, doctors, teachers. In their context, in what they do, they were able to show Christ in their life. So it's an opportunity, in fact, to connect it. So that's why I decided and God called me to do what I do. I encourage people. I encourage university students, professionals, business people, politicians to use the platform. So I will be speaking on that area because that's what God has put in my heart. Before I do that, I will just pass greetings from my church, who is a sister church with Arakilu Qaalei Hiwot. Arakilu Qaalei Hiwot is the church that your church is partnering on, the family where Pastor Kevin came and spoke, family and marriage. And also from Pastor Tamasgen, Shirei Qaalei Hiwot Church. Apparently, he lives now in Addis Ababa because of the war that's going on in the north. So pray for us, with us, pray for the church in Ethiopia. He have sent his greetings, and I would love to pass that greetings to you. Before I jump to what I will be speaking on today, let's pray together, but I will be praying in my mother tongue, and I will be praying the Lord's Prayer in Amharic. Let's pray. በሰማያት የምትኖር አባታችን ሆይ ስምህ ይቀደስ መንግስትህ ትምጣ ፍቃድህ በሰማይ እንደሆነች እንዲሁም በምድር ትሁን የዕለት እንጀራችንን ስጠን ዛሬ በደላችንን ሁሉ ይቅር በለን እኛም የበደሉንን ይቅር እንደምንል ወደ ፈተናም አታግባን ከክፉ ሁሉ አድነን እንጂ መንግስት ያንተ ናትና ኃይል ክብር ምስጋና ለዘላለም አሜን. I will be reading from Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 13 through 16, where it talks about salt, being salt and light, and I will be speaking on the subject of glorifying God through our work. Starting verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be turned out, thrown out, and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it will give light to everyone in the home. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This verse is translated in Amharic. The part that says salt, it was translated as alcha. Alcha is a stone, a rock, that you would find next to a river or in an ocean. You look like it, and it looks like salt. But when you taste it, it's not. Every characteristic, just looking at it, it looks like salt. Until you taste this, you won't know that it's salt or not. In my culture, if you ask the average Ethiopian, or even people who have been in Ethiopia, who have lived in Ethiopia, what's the most loved traditional food? It's the chicken stew, doro wat. It's red and very spicy, by the way. If you are not used to it, I don't think you could have this. It's really hard before and after you, if you know. After it's both ways. So we spent close to 20 hours to make it. It depends on the how good you want to be. If you are slow, it has to be cooked slow on a fire. Not if you put it on the stove, it's very fast, but it doesn't taste good. So it's very slow to cook it. At the same time, we use close to 15 spices to make it. Let's say we forgot to put salt. All that hour that went invested into that doro wat, and all that spice will not have a flair. It's for nothing. So I look at our life as Christians, and I would say, look at around, look at whatever we are building, whether it's the infrastructures, the economy, the education, everything, and take out the truth, take out us, take out the Christianity out of it, and then it will not have a flavor. God is telling us to be the lights. God is telling us to be the salts in the world, so that the world will have the flavor of God. The reason why my father called me Misikir is I am a witness. When people look at me, they look at my dad. And then they'll say, "You must be the son of Atuaklilu, my father." And In the same way, we should not cover our lights and our identity in Christ when we are engaging with the world. But what's going on in my culture, in my country, is the church is so disconnected from the world. Any taste of God, any flavor of the truth is hidden in the church compound, in the church building. So we are asking people to come into the building so that they will know, they will taste God. What's a better way of using a salt? Salt. Would you put the steak into the salt shaker or you put the salt on the steak? Which one is the better way? What we are trying to do is we are asking people to come into the building so that they will have God's flavor. And instead, what we need to do is to go out and become flavor to the world. I can give you examples and stories in Ethiopia that the first church that was founded within the country, that's now, this denomination is as close to 5 million. It's called Mulongel. It was started by university students, agricultural workers, medical doctors, engineers, and teachers. Because during the Derg government, which is the Marxist, the socialist government, during the 17 years, we cannot exercise religion. So people have been persecuted. So the church was underground. Nobody would know. And you have to find a way to lead churches. Most of the time it's happening with small groups in the house. It's like a Bible study group, and it looks like a Bible study group. And you cannot gather more than 10 or 20. If you do, you will get in trouble. But the government had a system where they will send professionals to the rural areas so that they will pay their duties. Because the government has invested a lot in their life, so you don't pay it in cash, you pay it in duty. They have been sending all these professionals, agricultural workers, without knowing that they are sending missionaries. That's how the 5 million grew. You don't see that culture now. I don't know if you ever heard the story of the night runners. The night runners are people who run during the night to the next neighborhood. Maybe that's why we become good runners in the Olympics. We have been practicing that. So in the evenings, they will be running from one town to the other because during the day, they will be arrested. They will be crucified. Persecuted. We use crucified as in Christ was persecuted. So they have to run to the next town and share the gospel, pray with them, and then plant a church. That's how the church grew. In a time of persecution. Meaning people were able to live out what God has put in their life. In our classes, we cannot preach. We cannot share the gospel. As Chris said, it's both unethical and illegal. But we can create relationship. In our classes, in average, especially low classes, in a low department, you'll have more blind students in language classes and law department. So in average, we'll have 15 up to 20 students who are blind. So we do a different system that they will be supported, they will be equal with the advantage classes. So what we do is we have, it's like a mentorship class. So Dr. Chris will finish his class and he would share the information, but he will invite them for the same class so that it will be translated into Amharic. And then I would do one-to-one tutoring. In that case, we are building relationship. In that relationship, they will ask you, because it's not a common thing to be a philosopher in Ethiopia and believe in God, in the existence of God. Because most of philosophers in my nation, they grew on the education of continental philosophy, which is more of They are educated in Russia, most of them. So they don't believe in the existence of God. So the first thing that you are told is, if you become a philosopher, you'll get crazy. You wear a certain way, and then you grow your hair in a certain way. And you smoke, you drink a lot. That's how. So if literally people would tell you that, why are you doing in philosophy class? Like, there is no job opportunity in it except being, you know? So to see him as an example, who believes in God, it creates question. So we are using that platform to talk to students who until this day are calling to us and then build a relationship. In fact, Faisa, one of the blind students now, he's studying theology to become a minister, who was in the same class with us. People would ask us to come to the church because the relationship has started in the classroom, meaning we are using that platform to share the gospel too. I have a friend, his name is Unatu, and he graduated from Addis Ababa University. He has this heart to street boys. And right now, according to the government data, there are 72,000 street boys in Addis Ababa. They are looking for different opportunities, meaning they want to come to the cities looking for an opportunity, job opportunity, but they are kids and nobody would hire them. So they end up being on the streets. During the night, so that they will not feel cold, they will sniff glue. And the glue will numb their body. And then they will be addicted to it. So they call them the glue boys. What Unatu will do is he will bring out lunch boxes and then he will go out on the street and he will eat them, but at the same time he will share the gospel with them. So that ministry start to grow. When he graduate, he said, I need to subsidize my ministry. So I have to find a job that will pay for my ministry. He didn't want to raise that support. So he started a business, catering business. And he would do service for weddings and events in the church, bigger churches. And also the government has all these ceremonies. He would do the catering. But the same equipment, the same food element that he would use for the catering, he would use it to feed the kids. So that grew into where during COVID, he would feed 4,000 street boys every single day. 4,000. And the government has to give him the schools who have been closed and then use the spaces. And the church start to volunteer with him. He created a movement. He's just a business person. He created a movement around the city. And people start to walk around driving and they will have lunch boxes and give out for the glue boys on the street. Just a business person. He's being light and salt to the world. He's living out his life. He doesn't have to become a pulpit minister. He doesn't have to become a certain way because that's how it's considered. Ministry has to be in a certain setting. So what we are doing right now in Ethiopia is we are creating this movement for people to be salt and light outside of the church too. Not hiding their light under the basket. I see this pattern now where we pretend as if we are salt, but we are not. Meaning, every structure that you see, it looks like, he must be Christian. But the flavor is not there. I have an experience where we travel in the south. We travel with a bigger buses. We don't have a lot of buses in the south. So they will to make money, but at the same time, because they are not paid well, the bus drivers, they will fill it out with people. Sometimes you are not sitting with four or five people only. Some people would sit on the edge of the chair like this, on the top of the chair, so that they will use the whole space. And think about it, like it's sweaty and it's really uncomfortable, but when you go in for someone who's from urban city like me, we would do this in the beginning though.
So you do this and then you see it and then you'll be like, oh, it's a long road, and
somebody start to talk to you and then you start to talk and then you feel comfortable. As if you, there is nothing wrong with it. The only time you notice is you go out to make a way for the other person to go out and you come and it still smells. But in your mind, because you are used to it, it's okay. You forget that you are in the midst of that bad condition. So sometimes we get used to the bad things for the people who are outside of the condition. They will notice it and they'll look, how in the world you are sitting in this condition? How in the world? Because they can see it easily. So sometimes becoming a light and salt is not easy. If you spend a lot of time in it, in that situation, and you end up being losing your favor and losing your light. So this is my challenge to you today, to be intentional. Wherever you are a teacher, a professional, a doctor, wherever you are, a politician, wherever you are, to become intentional and to design a way or to plan ahead, to pray ahead, so that God will use you in that situation, in that condition. I grew up praying for the U.S. My school, it was something that we were told, and I grew up in an Adventist school, and something that we were told, we pray for the nation. And you come to my nation, and then we see that it's the U.S. is an example for Christianity. So I challenge you to keep that banner showing Christ to the whole world. That's a banner that we are used to. This is something that I needed to say. I am from Africa, so I don't have to be politically correct. So that's something that gives me a freedom to say. Show it as a banner. And Christ, so that Christ will be seen, Christ will be noticed in our life. How do we see it though? How do we show it? How do we show it? The glory of God in the Old Testament have been shown through a different form than the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you will see the glory of God in the splendors and the magnificent presence, in the majestical presence of God. When he talks to Adam and Eve, when he reveals himself to Moses, in the burning bushes, in the burning mountains and the smoke, and the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, the people who are serving the Lord, the priests, the way they dress, it shows the glory of God. It's sometimes in a vision, in dreams, in songs, in poems, and how the nation praises God. So it's mostly it's shown as the powerful and scary and majestical presence. And then the way even prophets describes God, sometimes it's scary. They will talk about the faces of God. And even God will tell Moses that he will kill. If I am present, he will die. And the way it was presented was in that kind of form. And you come to the New Testament where God revealed himself through his son. Hebrews chapter 1. God tried to speak to us through different ages, different people, but eventually spoke to us through Christ. And the way God revealed himself through Christ is so different. It was more in humility, sacrifice, love. And so when we say glorifying God, because we have that identity, we are still talking about the way Christ revealed his Father, which is sacrifice, which is love, and which is humility. But at the same time, using every opportunity to show Christ in our work. Let me finish with one story, and that really impacted me. I was sitting with a friend of mine. His name is Mangustu, and he is my mentor in ministry. And we were sitting next to a lake, because where I was ministering, there is a big lake, one of the biggest lakes in Ethiopia, Lake Tana. We were sitting next to the lake, and then he ordered a bottle of water, and I ordered macchiato, latte. We are having discussion, and then I am sipping the coffee, and then he finished the water, and then he put it down, and as he was talking to me, the wind will come, and then the bottle will fail. And then without knowing it, he would put it right, and then he will continue his conversation. The wind will come, and then the bottle will fail, and then he would put it again, and then he will continue the conversation. The wind will come, and then he was start to get mad because the bottle keep falling, and then he put it down and he said, "You know what? We are like this when we don't have anything. The reason why it was failing is because the water is not in it anymore. So any pressure that's coming from the outside is throwing the bottle away." So he said, "We are like this. The pressure is not going to stop. You cannot ask the wind not to blow. You cannot tell the ocean to stop the pressure. But you can fill out the bottle so that it will resist the pressure." Today in church, today in my nation, in your nation, what we need is to be filled out with the word of God, but more than anything, with the power of God, so that we will resist the pressure. The pressure will not stop. In fact, it will increase. We cannot stop. We are trying our best to stop the pressure. It doesn't work that way. What we can do is to fill ourselves with the power of God, with the word of God, and getting ready for the pressure. I will be praying in Amharic and finish this session. The reason why I pray in Amharic is I'm really, really, like when I turn to prayer, I cannot even speak in English. So that's why I pray in Amharic. Let's pray, and then I will be finishing this session. Abba Father, thank you for your word that you have spoken to us, God. Help us to be filled with your spirit and your word and your power, so that we will resist the pressure. Not just resist, though, God, resist the pressure, but also to encounter, to show the light and the salt, and to glorify you and be intentional in what we do, God. ጌታ ሆይ በዚህ ሁሉ ክብሩን ውሰድ ስላደረክልን መልካምነት እናመሰግናለን የዘላለም አምላክ ስምህን ክብርህን ለሰዎች ሁሉ መግለጥ እንድንችል እርዳን ለዚህች ምድር ለዚህ ህዝብ ጸልያለሁኝ መንፈስህ በላቸው ላይ ይገለጥ ተመልሰው እግዚአብሔር አምላክ ስምህን ማንገስ እንዲችሉ እርዳቸው እናመሰግናለን በልጅህ በኢየሱስ ስም አሜን